What is up, everyone? Welcome back to our little podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis, and joining me, as always, is Sean O'Connell. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Eric. Good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too. And, you know, I'm excited about this summer for a lot of reasons. There are a lot of blockbusters hitting theaters, yes. But this is also, I feel, this summer sort of sets the stage for the return of the coming-of-age movie. And I don't really mean we haven't seen any coming-of-age movies recently, because we have. But for some reason, after Perks of Being a Wallflower sort of set
– was a great one, though.
Which was really great. And before that, you know, I felt like we've been in this lull of instead of coming-of-age movies, studios have been doing these really raunchy, R-rated – you know, I think ever since The Hangover – and even American Pie, they sort of kind of went into sex comedy and raunchy comedy, and we missed a lot of like those films, those poignant coming of age movies that were funny, that were heartfelt, that we grew up with in the 80s, you know, like Stand By Me or The Goonies or, you know, those fun adventure films. We've kind of missing those lately, I feel at least, except for this year. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting a bunch of them, and this summer specifically, we have three, with one of them coming out this weekend. It's called The Kings of Summer, and then in July, we have The Way, Way Back, and then in August, we have The Spectacular. Now, three fantastic movies. I saw them at Sundance, and I feel like those three and, you know, and there's some other smaller films like Stoker was a crazy, weird coming of age movie,
yes.
You know, and there are some other, you know, kind of smaller independent movies floating around there. But I mean, is it just me that's seeing this, or do you feel like all of a sudden the coming of age genre is kind of reemerging?
I definitely think it's reemerging. And I think that, like you said, we're getting out of that cycle of, you know, these comedies that had to be really gross and really over the top. And I guess it was Superbad. Well, I guess it was American Pie that really kickstarted that, but then Superbad turned it up a notch. And everything that I'm hearing about these three movies that you mentioned, The Spectacular Now, The Way, Way Back, is that they're sweeter, you know, that they seem to tap into a vibe that when you talked about movies that we grew up on, I mean, obviously you and I came up from a generation where, you know, John Hughes was king and Cameron Crowe was able to tap into, you know, this emotion, this feeling that these teenagers go through, where it's not – everything isn't drinking and drugs and how can I get the next girl. It was, you know, maybe getting your heart broken every once in a while. And that's what I'm hearing a lot about these films, about Way, Way Back and about Spectacular Now, is that performances by, you know, actors like Sam Rockwell are touching, you know, that they're actually reaching you on an emotional level. And you know, I'm hearing great things about the performances in Spectacular Now, the two leads, and that they're not like gross out American Pie type comedies, but things that you can really use to help you reconnect with that period that you went through. And I think that's what those earlier films that you and I grew up on, I think that's what they managed to do.
Yeah, I, you know, and specifically The Kings of Summer and The Way, Way Back are really funny movies. And they prove that you can make people laugh without kids lighting patio furniture on fire while a midget jumps into a pool. You know what I'm saying? yeah. You know, I feel like those films, Project X and, you know, the last few years have given us these like hard partying teenage movies that are completely external, but there's nothing internal. There's nothing kind of saying, you know, this is what it's like growing up for a teenager, and these are some of the feelings that they're getting. And specifically The Spectacular Now, I think, tackles that to more dramatic effect, where it deals with a kid coming to terms with the fact that he's inherited these traits from his parents, you know, specifically addiction traits and alcoholism. And I think that for kids that are sort of realizing that there, you know, when you first realize for the first time that something you're doing and that you do a lot is something that came from your parents, that's like a scary thing for a kid. And you don't really see films tackle that, especially today. And so I'm glad that these movies are arriving this summer. You know, we'll speak about The Spectacular Now, I think, later in the summer. Fantastic performances from the kids in that movie. Shailene Woodley, who's in Spider-Man 2, and she's in Divergent. She's going to be a big blowout star, but breakout
huge
star. Yeah. And Miles Teller, is Miles Teller in this film reminded me of kind of this generation's Ferris Bueller.
Oh, wow.
In a lot of ways, and I think if they put him in the right movies, he's poised to do great things this weekend, though. And I'm a little bummed it's only on 4 screens. I just discovered this actually before we began recorded. I looked up how many screens The Kings of Summer was on, and it's only 4 screens. And I feel like, as like a, you know, the weekend after Memorial Day, we're in summer now. Kids are vibing. They're into this groove. A movie like this comes out that celebrates sort of the independence that summer brings. And I'm surprised it's only on 4 screens. But if it's on a screen in your neck of the woods, definitely go see it this weekend. If not, I'm sure it'll expand nationwide. But it's a really great film about these 3 kids who go off into the woods, who have these overbearing parents, and they decide to build their own house. And it reminds me of like a Superbad meets Stand By Me. So it has some of that Superbad-esque funniness in it, with some foul-mouthed humor and yada yada. But it also is poignant and heartfelt and kind of explores what it's like to go against your best friend for the same girl, or something like that, when all of a sudden you stop building forts and you start paying attention to the girl walking by. That's sort of like where this movie takes place.
Okay. And let's talk a little bit about The Way, Way Back, since it's coming up soon. Is that similar to – are there kids that are at the forefront of it, or teenagers that are at the focus of it? Because everything I keep hearing about is Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. The Way, Way Back is sort of like it's about a kid who is kind of a loner and doesn't have many friends, and his sister's cooler than him. Your basic kind of – kid. I think Perks of Being a Wallflower had a similar character. He's kind of internal, very hidden, and he goes with his mother and her boyfriend. Steve Carell plays the mother's boyfriend, who's a very different role for Steve Carell, kind of plays a dick in this movie. And they go out to go up to a vacation house, and the kid goes to a water park where he meets Sam Rockwell. Sam Rockwell runs a water park. He's like a big kid who runs this water park. And Sam Rockwell bonds with this kid and helps him come out of his shell,
okay,
so to speak. And so it kind of combines a lot of different movies. It combines like that crazy summer, with a kind of a movie about a ragtag group of people that work like Adventureland.
Okay.
So it combines a lot of those fun summer movies that you've watched maybe growing up or in recent years, and it has elements of all of them. Sam Rockwell, and specifically Allison Janney, who plays the next door neighbor to them, she's completely off the wall to the point where I feel like she deserves some sort of awards consideration in a supporting category for this movie, because she is so fun. Funny and steals every scene she's in. But yeah, definitely that's kind of like and it's funny how they're positioned, these 3 films. The Kings of Summer is sort of like a launch pad for summer, like kind of these kids, we're running away, we're building a house in the woods, and we're hunkering down for the summer and being kids. And The Way, Way Back kind of comes at a time when, yeah, a lot of people are going on their summer vacations, and kids are, I went on those vacations when I was a kid too, and there'd be that crush there, or going somewhere else can help you become a different person, I guess. Okay. Because you don't know anybody there, and so it kind of taps into that. And it's Spectacular Now sort of end summer on a more dramatic, but it's still a fun movie, but it's definitely a more dramatic note, and gets us ready for the fall season of awards contenders, I think.
Okay. So make sure you write these down: The Kings of Summer, The Way, Way Back, and The Spectacular Now, because they don't have the marketing push, that's something massive like Fast 6 or After Earth or something coming up is going to have. And so they may be reaching you a lot later than we hope, because we won't be able to talk about them as they come up. But check your art house theaters. Check your screens. Make sure that when these guys come, you definitely find them, because I think they're well worth your time.
Exactly, especially if you're a fan of coming-of-age movies, which I am. That's like one of my favorite genres. I think I'm perpetually living as a 15-year-old boy. but moving on, we do have some big movies coming out this weekend. We have M. Night Shyamalan has a big movie with Will Smith and Jaden Smith, who are reteaming for the first time since Pursuit of Happiness, which is a really great movie. And we have Now You See Me, which is seems like an Ocean's 11 kind of movie with magicians, which I've been intrigued by. Neither of us have seen Now You See Me, unfortunately. Sean sees it tonight. But Sean has seen After Earth, and I want to ask you a big question because, you know, everybody is, you know, they see M. Night Shyamalan, whose name has kind of not been really publicized. It's been more of a Will Smith, Jaden Smith movie so far. But I'm curious, you know, M. Night Shyamalan, he didn't write this, I don't believe. And does it have his trademarks? Does it have all kinds of twisty turns? I mean, what kind of movie should people expect?
It has none of that stuff. And I find it interesting how they're going to such great lengths to keep his name off of it. I don't see it in any of the marketing materials. And it isn't until that there's no real opening credit sequence. The movie just starts. And so it isn't until the very last, you know, shot in the movie where it cuts to directed by M. Night Shyamalan. And you could get through this entire film and not know that he shot it. I think it's a lot closer. No, I want to be careful with this. It's closer in tone to what he tried to do with The Last Airbender. But it's a much better movie than The Last Airbender was. Because that just didn't work necessarily. I think it got too caught up in the deep mythology that came with this television show that he sort of adopted with these warriors that used the different forces of nature, whether it was wind or water or earth. And he never really figured out, or whatever team he was working with, never really figured out the story to be told through all of that mythology. He does a lot better job here in sort of figuring out what story to follow, and he almost simplifies it a little bit too much. It's set in the distant future. It's Will Smith and Jaden Smith are an actual father-son team in the movie, and Will Smith is one of our greatest warriors, where you know, humanity is basically always fighting off this race of creatures, and I'm blanking on their names right now, and it's kind of vague, it isn't really important, but he's not the best father in the world, and he's never really around to help his kids sort of come of age. And his kid is studying to become a space ranger also, but he's a cadet who can't quite get out of the classroom. He has no field experience. So they go on a mission together, and their ship gets damaged. And all this happens very early on. I'm not giving away too much. But their ship gets damaged. They have to land, and they realize the closest place for them to land is Earth. But it's Earth that's totally uninhabitable. We've damaged it way too much. It's actually criminal for you to land on our planet because everything on it has evolved to the point where everything is deadly. And they have to retrieve a beacon in order to get rescued, and then it becomes like a Jaden Smith type of venture. Yeah, I say all this to say that it's not an M. Night Shyamalan movie, and the fact that there isn't a mystery to solve. You're not watching it waiting for a big twist. There's no twist. It's more just a straightforward sort of sci-fi fantasy adventure. And it's definitely one that, much like Last Airbender, is aimed at families. I mean, you kind of realize, you know, after the first half hour that there's a huge focus on the father-son relationship, and then there's going to be the huge emphasis on whether this kid can complete this mission. And once I realized that this is aimed at you know, younger kids and isn't supposed to be dense sci-fi, I enjoyed it for that. I mean, I've got a 9-year-old
son.
That's
interesting that you bring that up because I watching this, the trailers for this movie, nothing screams out family film. It's kind of they sort of highlight the action elements of it. Jaden Smith, you know, charging at species with a spear, and there's just lots of shots of creatures, and it looks like it could be kind of a scary, dangerous movie. And so I'm actually surprised to hear that it's a family film, aside from the fact that they're father and son, but that it is a family movie. I think families are interested in knowing that.
Well, I paid very close attention to it because we will be focusing on this movie in our When Can I Watch column. And they really do pull back on a lot of the violence that could be there and should be there. Like, yes, this character is in some danger, but it's never really over the top. It's got a lot more of an adventure vibe to it. It reminds me of something like The Last Starfighter. And I find it interesting that we're going to have Ender's Game coming to theaters later, which is going to be another sort of sci-fi adventure based on a young kid, you know, who everybody's hopes are sort of placed on him. Will Smith has a very backseat role in this movie because when they crash, the father's injured and he needs his son to retrieve this beacon if they're going to be rescued. And I found it really interesting because this is not the big Will Smith summer hero guy. If you're coming hoping to see, you know, Independence Day type Will Smith, it's not that at all. It's very subdued, and it reminded me when Shyamalan works with actors, he brings them down to his sort of subdued, laid-back level, whether it's Mel Gibson in Signs, or Bruce Willis in Unbreakable barely, you know, musters a bark at all in that film. It's they stay very level, very plateaued. It's very subtle. It's very low-key, and Will Smith sort of plugs into that. But when the adventure gets going, they do keep it family-friendly.
And, you know, I'm curious because Iron Man 3, wham-bam, Star Trek Into Darkness punches you in the face throughout the film. Right. Fast and Furious 6. I mean, so for an audience that have just been kind of living through a month full of just boom, 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 is After Earth, does it feel like a welcomed kind of – okay, now we can take a breath and enjoy and consume this movie, or do you feel like you need more wham bam boom boom?
It needed it. I'm not saying it needed more wham bam, but there's less of that than what you're getting in Iron Man or Star Trek or I'm guessing Man of Steel. There's maybe one great set piece in this movie, but it's not structured that way. It's not supposed to be next big action sequence, next big action sequence. It's more of a survival story, an individual survival story of can this kid find the courage in himself once he's in the field to apply everything that he's kind of been learning in the classroom and everything that his father expects of him to retrieve this beacon and rescue his family, essentially. And I appreciated that. I didn't need it to be – you know what, Eric? It really reminded me a bit of Oblivion, but whether Oblivion was definitely aimed at grown-ups and was a little bit more dense, this is like Oblivion for kids. It's on a desolate Earth. It's got a heavy sci-fi element, but it has a young hero. And I think if maybe you checked out Oblivion and you were like, I'm not sure if my kids can handle this – then After Earth is definitely for them.
That's good. That's good to know, because I think that – I imagine – and I've spoken to some parents over the course of the month of May, and they stayed away from Iron Man 3, or maybe they stayed away from Star Trek Into Darkness,
yeah,
or Fast 6, because, you know, none of these big movies, they were a little too crazy, a little too intense for their kids. It's nice that you're getting a big, nice, big sci-fi movie with Will Smith and his kid, and it's four kids, and it'll be interesting. I'm turned on by the idea that you put Will Smith in a summer blockbuster and he's hurt for the whole movie, you know, and it's sort of, it sounds like it's a launching pad for Jaden. It seems like this is his movie, and it'll be interesting to see now if, you know, the Karate Kid was very successful, but Jaden Smith seems to be doing what his father does, is choosing his roles very carefully. He's not after the Karate Kid. We didn't see him spit out another five random movies. He wasn't in a romantic comedy, in a high school comedy. He wasn't in all those movies. He's picky and he's choosy and he's just like his father. So it'll be interesting to see now where he goes and what he does, specifically without his father.
I agree with that. Well, and it definitely helps that he has his father behind him too when putting a picture like this together. We were all joking after our screening too that there's a mother role in this movie, and it didn't go to Jada Pinkett Smith because the credits when they come up, this is based on a story by Will Smith, and so he definitely has his fingerprints all over this. But I'm dying to find out if audiences are willing to come and see him in something that isn't a proven franchise. You know, he did go back and do Men in Black 3 because prior to that, 7 Pounds didn't do Will Smith level box office. Hancock didn't make huge money. You know, I Am Legend was a big hit, but yeah, I wonder if that's why they're hiding Shyamalan's name. But, I mean, believe it or not, he does a really good job with this movie. It's a credible job as a director, and in terms of sci-fi, I thought he did a really good job. The production values are fantastic.
Yeah, no, I think he's a good storyteller. I think he's a smart man. He's got a lot of great ideas, and I think he's, you know, he's tripped over some things in the past, but I'm all for giving him a shot because I like a lot of things about what he does when he does have something on the big screen. The other film, Now You See Me, unfortunately we haven't seen it, but it looks good and it looks fun and it looks like kind of like an Ocean's 11 with magicians, and it seems like the if you didn't get your magic fill after the one with Jim Carrey.
Burt Wonderstone.
If that didn't kind of hit you in the right spot, then maybe this is one to go see.
It's a great ensemble. I think that Woody Harrelson's always fun. Isla Fisher is going to be a good time. Jesse Eisenberg seems like he's growing into the leading man role, and this seems like a really interesting choice for him. I like Mark Ruffalo, obviously, a lot. This one seems to move exactly. You keep referencing Ocean's 11. I think you're nailing it with that. It just seems like it's going to fit into that vibe. And we haven't had a comedy like that. You know, Hangover was very clearly aimed at Hangover audiences. I think this is going to be a lot more accessible, a lot more mainstream for people to get into.
Before we go, Sean, I'm going to ask you, does After Earth, does a big Will Smith summer blockbuster take number one at the box office this weekend, or is Fast and Furious 6 just too fast and furious for it?
I'm going to put my chips on the table and say After Earth does better than I think, and that, yes, it has the power with Will Smith and Jaden Smith behind it to knock Fast 6 off.
Wow. So you think After Earth is going to come in number one this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'll say yes. And I'm gambling here, and I think that Will Smith has his audience. And, I mean, Jaden Smith really brought a lot of people in for Karate Kid. Now, maybe that was just Karate Kid, and maybe this kid has a big following. I'm not sure. But, you know, Fast 6, the people who wanted to see it, I think, flocked and saw it over Memorial Day weekend. Maybe it levels off a little bit more. After Earth does pretty well. It does have IMAX behind it. That could help. So, yeah, why not? I'm going to gamble and say it takes number one.
You know, the key to it hitting number one is getting the word out that it is a family movie. And so I'm glad that we had this conversation. And
yeah.
And I hope people realize that you can take your kids to it. And so I think parents will be excited to hear that. Sean O'Connell, thank you very much for doing this. We have a lot more coming up, and Man of Steel is coming too. And we're really excited about it. And yeah.
Very cool, Eric. And the internship, too, which I'm hearing really good things about, too. I'm hearing Vince Vaughn is, like, giving one of the best performances of his career.
Wow.
And that surprises me a lot. I get to see it this weekend, and I've heard from two or three different people who have been able to see it early that said, you're not prepared for what Vince Vaughn does in this movie. So,
wow, that surprises me. That's, like, the biggest surprise so far to hear that, because I have been kind of writing off this film. It seemed felt dated to me, but wow.
It dated, and honestly – all three people have said the exact same thing. They're like, dude, it was much better than I thought, and Vince Vaughn kills it. So we'll talk about that next week.
We will talk about that next week. Sean O'Connell, thank you very much. This has been our little podcast here at Fandango. My name is Eric Davis. His name is Sean O'Connell. Enjoy your weekend at the movies, folks.